Italy is meant to just be savored and to really appreciate slow travel. And again, I've been going over 2 decades and I haven't visited all 12 regions yet. There's always so much to see. So the best trips are really when you can slow down, you can enjoy the sunset, not try to rush through everything.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Jessica Adza with World Travelista. Jessica has been a frequent traveler since 1999 and fell in love with Italy at an early age. In this episode, she shares tips on saving money while traveling in Italy, including travel tricks for flights, train tickets, car rentals, and travel insurance. We also discuss the best time to visit Italy and the importance of understanding Italian culture. Jessica and I also discuss how she utilizes credit card benefits to get auto insurance waived when she rents cars during a trip. If you're thinking about renting cars during your next trip, consider the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which comes with primary auto insurance coverage. Remember, if you decide to apply for the Chase Sapphire Reserve or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. And if you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. And we have links to the Chase Sapphire Reserve and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. Hey, Jessica, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey, Julia, thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm so excited to have you here, and I am so excited to talk about Italy, all about different ways to fly to Italy, and also lots of different travel hacks for when you're there, what cities people should go check out, and the best ways to go visit those cities, where to stay, what to eat, what to do, all the fun things, because I think Italy is one of the most requested destinations for when people are like, how do I get here on points? Before we jump into all of that, tell us a little bit about you and how did you get into the game of points and miles?
Sure. Thanks so much. So yeah, my name's Jessica and I've been traveling to Italy for over 20 years now. So I guess you could say I'm addicted. love the country a lot, but I'm always trying to find, you know, any way to get to Italy. You know, travel hacking using points as miles has definitely helped me to get there more frequently. It's helped me to offset the cost. And, you know, since I've been traveling for so long, over a couple decades, it's, you know, I've definitely gone through different periods in my life where I needed to travel hack. I needed to be more frugal with my money. So yeah, it's a destination that I'm not going to stop going to. So anytime I can share it with others and, you know, I just really hope to other people to go there and experience more of the beauty of the country too.
What kicked all of this off? What made you go the first time to Italy and be like, I'm going to go to Italy? And then do you go to the same place over and over again? Or do you go to a different region each time? How did this kind of snowball into 20 years of visiting the country?
In college, actually, I minored in French. So in high school, I was a self-taught Francophile. Went to France. And then the first time I went to Italy, you know, that very first trip, I was like, oh my goodness, like, I just need to keep going to Italy. So Italy, I was hooked. And my next trip was about 4 years later. And my husband, I had convinced him, hey, let's go to Italy and let's get married. So he had actually never been to Italy before, and it was my second trip, and I wanted to go to some other places I hadn't been to, the Amalfi Coast. And just from watching movies, I knew that it was going to be amazing. And, you know, I started doing more solo trips after that. One point I was on a solo trip on a wine tour in northern Italy. I remember I was in the city of Torino and with the tour guides, and we crossed the River Po. There was like a sign that said, you know, Fiume Po, and it just triggered a light bulb moment. I remember that my grandfather was in World War II in Italy. And I thought, how cool would that be to retrace Grandpa Ernie's warpath? And from that point on, which that was, I think that trip was in 2012, everything completely changed for me, because then I decided I wanted to research my grandpa. And I really, you know, went down the path of a more fulfilling and meaningful visit to Italy. And yes, I absolutely go to the same places over and over and over again, just because I've fallen in love with the people of Italy. I've met so many really good friends, friends I consider family. I have two grandpas in Italy. And so, I mean, they're not real grandpas, obviously, but to me, they're, you know, like grandparents and just really good friends. And so for me, it's more than just a vacation. Italy is not a checklist place. It's the only checks for me in Italy, I guess, would be to go to more regions. But I keep getting drawn to the same regions over and over again. So I do need to venture out to other spots. But yeah, I think my love of Italy is going past the big cities, going into the small towns. And that's where I always want to keep going back and back, as to those smaller towns.
Which small towns do you tend to frequent, and where are they? Because I'm sure as soon as you say them, people are going to be like, I don't know what that is.
I typically go to the small hill towns in the region of Emilia Romagna. That's where my grandpa Ernie spent the majority of his time in World War II. So little towns, we're talking, you know, towns of maybe 100 people, towns of 500 people, and in the region. So, for example, Lizzano and Belvedere, Guerciola, Montese, Castellano, another little favorite, medium-sized town, Savigno. Savigno is fantastic to visit in the fall. They have a truffle festival there. Alba, for people that are into truffles, definitely Alba in the Piedmont region. And the wine is absolutely incredible in Piedmont. Some of the best wines in the world come from the Piedmont region. So Barolo, Alba, I mean, Barbera, all of those areas, I definitely recommend for people. So, yeah.
For people who are still don't know where any of this is, where is Emilia Romagna?
Sorry. So Emilia Romagna, Bologna is the capital of Emilia Romagna. So most people are aware of where Florence is or where Bologna is. So the hill towns that I'm referring to, they are anywhere from 45 to an hour and a half drive from Bologna due west, kind of west, northwest. And if you were in Florence, you're going to be driving north. And that's the same. It's about an hour and a half north if you're going from Florence to these little hill towns. And the hill towns are in a mountain range. It's in the Apennine. So the Apennine mountain region stretches through a majority of Italy from the north kind of down to the south. And it's actually pretty interesting. 75% of Italy is in a mountainous area. But the Apennines are one of the largest mountain regions. So, it's an area that transportation-wise, there are no trains. I mean, trains are rather limited to some areas. So if you were going to be visiting, you can take a bus, but my recommendation in that area would be to rent a car. But I would suggest that not to be your first trip to Italy. For someone that's the first time, you know, you're probably going to want to go see the major cities like most tourists go to, the Rome, Florence, Venice, Milan, and those areas are all easily accessed by trains. And driving by car, depending on which region you're in, it's not for the faint of heart.
How does one go about renting a car in Italy? What is that process? And is it covered by like Chase Sapphire Preferred, Chase Sapphire Reserved car insurance? Like, what is that whole process?
Yeah, great question. So as an American, I do travel a lot for my job, and I've always rented a lot with Hertz and Avis. And I've earned the President's Club the hard way, even though I have it complimentary with my VentureX card as well. But I always prefer to rent with Hertz. I've had really good success renting with Hertz. And they recognize my President's Club status, and they typically upgrade me. So I can drive stick shift, but maybe I'll reserve like an economy car stick shift, and then they'll have, maybe it's because they know I'm American, they'll have, or an upgrade, they'll have an automatic reserve waiting for me at the airport. or the train station, wherever I'm picking my car up at. So I try to go with Hertz first. And again, I've always had really good, nice upgrades. I've had, you know, some really, really nice Alfa Romeos. I've had some nice Volvo cars. And definitely it's kind of fun to drive a car when you're turning heads too. but I will say this last trip that I had in June, it was a longer trip. It was a 2-week trip and then my days got extended. So I needed the car rental, one day longer. And when I went to go extend it, maybe a week or two before I left, the price now doubled. It went from like 500 euros to like 1,000 euros. So then I started shopping around and then I actually went to the Venture X, you know, Capital One portal and I ended up booking, you know, with them and it ended up being Avis. And that was actually a really good experience, even though I didn't get any, you know, my Avis status couldn't transfer over. That was a very pleasant experience. But to answer your other question, the card that I always keep on file when I'm booking my rental cars is absolutely my Chase Sapphire Reserve. So as you know, the Chase Sapphire Reserve comes with a primary auto insurance. And so, you know, the way that works is you just decline what they're offering you at the station and then you go about your way. And unfortunately, I have the experience of having to need that insurance. so that's the thing that you don't ever want to use. You know, I lightly rear-ended a car out in the countryside. So it was a very, very stressful situation, to say the least. But now I can say I have experience of being in an Italian car accident. So yeah, not good. But I will say, it took maybe 3 months to get everything resolved. You pay for the incident up front, and then you submit all your paperwork, and then the Chase Sapphire, they reimbursed me. So extremely stressful, but the other thing too is the amount that Hertz charged me at the airport. They charged me like 450 euros, or so. It wasn't anything exorbitant. I was nervous the whole time. I was thinking I was going to get $20,000 charged to my credit card, and that wasn't the case. But anyway, it really wasn't that bad. Like I said, it was a very minor fender bender, but you know, unfortunately, now I have experience with that.
That is not where I thought that story was going to go. Okay. All right. So for everybody who's listening and they're like, okay, that's like level 17 Italian traveling where you are flying around in a rented car and then you get into a car accident in a hill town. And obviously you have to like speak in Italian in order to get out of any of this. If someone's like, that's level 17, what's level 1? I want to go to Italy for the first time in my life and I want to use points and miles. How do I do level 1 vacation to Italy?
So for the first time using points and miles, you know, really you want to look at, you know, breaking your trip apart into different buckets, you know, where your biggest expenses are. Obviously transportation, your lodging, and then your food. You know, food harder to hack, but you know, I can talk about that too. But as far as the transportation part, obviously you've got your airfare and then you have your transportation once you get there, whether that's renting a car, if you absolutely need a car, taking the train, taking the bus, or walking, right? There's all sorts of different options that you have. And then of course the lodging. So my recommendation, if this is your first time, you're like, I just want to get to Italy. It looks so beautiful. I've watched all the movies. You know, definitely take a look. You know, you're going to look at, you know, maybe Google Flights if it's a cash fare, or, you know, depending on where you live, if you're flying from America, you know, for me, I live in Minneapolis. Minneapolis is a Delta hub. So I am pro SkyTeam. So I'm always looking at the SkyTeam partners because I'm going to have to connect in either Paris or Amsterdam typically, but there's other airline carriers. You know, obviously you can fly American, you can fly American partners. You can, you know, fly the Star Alliance. So really it's, you know, do you have a preferred alliance that you have? And then what cards do you have with transferable points? Do you have enough to get there? And really just following all of the blogs and finding where the deals are. I will definitely say Italy is extremely, there's peak seasons and then there's less peak season. And peak would obviously be the summer, right? Everyone wants to go to Italy in the summer. So it's exceptionally hard to find award flights in the summer. And if you do, it's going to be pricier. Can you find it? Sure. But, you know, my recommendation is to go on the travel on the shoulder season. So maybe in May or in the fall, you can typically find better pricing then. And then there's also less crowd. So it's a more pleasant time to go, in my opinion. But winter, you can always find some good deals. But then again, I mean, I just found a good deal a couple of days ago. There was this crazy deal on Virgin Atlantic. It was 12,000 miles one way to go from several large cities in America to get to various destinations in Italy. So there's always deals to be found. But again, you know, utilize your points and try to, you know, if you have an alliance, find what makes the most sense for you getting there.
So there are a couple of main hub airports. If you want to do a direct flight into Italy, you're going to go either into Milan or into Rome. If you want to go to Milan, this works better for people who are on the eastern half of the United States. That JFK to Milan route is super popular. A lot of people use that to experience Emirates business class or first class, which if you want to do that, it's cheaper to book it oftentimes through Air Canada, rather through Emirates. Or if you wanted to fly Chicago directly into Milan, there is a United operated flight there. So you could do that with Air Canada as well. And then there is a Delta flight into Milan. That one's going to be a little bit harder to hack. You can probably find it on Virgin Atlantic rarely, but it's going to be a little bit trickier to find that one. And then Newark also has a United flight that you could fly into Milan. But by and large, in the points world, the aspirational one is that Emirates one from JFK. And then for people who want to fly into Rome, that one is spread out a little bit more throughout the country. There is a United flight from Chicago there as well, or American Airlines. Since it's a direct flight, you could look into booking it with British Airways, with Dallas-Fort Worth, exact same thing. That's an American Airlines hub. With the California airports like San Francisco, they have a United flight, and I believe they are opening up a United flight from Los Angeles into Rome as well. So just depending on if you're trying to go into Northern Italy or Southern Italy, or where are you based in the United States? Because even if you are like West Coast and you're like, well, I kind of want to see Northern Italy, like you mentioned, going into Bologna and all that, but your direct flight is into Rome, it is going to be a lot easier for you to position within Italy because they have a train system. Our country in the U.S. does not have a great train system. So those are some different ways that you can kind of travel hack your flights into either Milan or Rome, depending on what airlines are available from your home airport or where can you position to. And for everybody listening on the podcast, I did not memorize all of these. I am looking at flightconnections.com, which is a free website that shows you all of the direct flights to and from an airport.
I was impressed. I was like, wow, very good. I will say American actually launched a nonstop flight from Philadelphia to Bologna, and it launched in June 2019. It's no longer an option, but I was so excited about that. So I booked the inaugural flight. So I booked that on points, and that was back in 2019. And I believe that was also the time when you book it, and I use my Citi American Airlines card, that at that time you would get 10% back of your points. And so I believe it was like 55,000 miles back or there. And then I can't remember how much was on the return, but I ended up getting into their first class or business class on the return. But it was just a really fun experience for me to be on that inaugural. It was the very first American-based airline to have a nonstop into Bologna. It was a big deal.
Yeah, that's awesome. And for anybody who doesn't have a nonstop option, you can actually have a lot more luck sometimes flying through different European cities, going through Paris on Air France, going through the English airports, either Virgin Atlantic or British Airways. You will have higher taxes and fees, but that is an option to get into Italy as well. You could go through Germany with Lufthansa. You can book that easily through Avianca Airlines to get last minute business class or oftentimes.
Or KLM, you can fly KLM up to Amsterdam. That's another typical route that I take. And if you get business class, then you get the cute little KLM Delft House.
Yes, you can do that too with KLM, Air France, Flying Blue. There is Iberia through Spain. So a lot of the major European airlines, you can route through into Italy as well. And then if that flight is delayed, then you get to take advantage of EU 261, get your 600 euro for the delayed flight. Unfortunately, we don't have something like that here.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I was going to also share too. So then once you get your flights into, you know, whatever your destination city is in Italy, you know, my recommendation, yeah, it's important, you know, to hit the big cities, you know, because that's where a lot of tourists are. I mean, I definitely recommend to go to the smaller towns. The best experiences I've had in Italy are always in the smaller towns. When you get into the larger cities, if you're just going city to city, it's very easy to book your trains. In most cities, you can take a train. And then there's two train lines. There's Trenitalia, and then there's Italo. And with Trenitalia, you know, that's kind of Italy's national train line. You can definitely book your train tickets, and you should book them in advance, because right now, I mean, things sell out. And you can book as early as 90 days in advance. So there's really no, the only way that I found to hack the train rides would be to purchase them with like a Venture X and then reimburse yourself. You could do it with a purchase eraser. That's one way you could do it. I typically will book it with my CSR card, my Chase Sapphire Reserve, because train steal code is, you know, travel, and then you get 3 times the points. So that's what I'll do. But if I want, if it was a smaller, you know, if I just wanted to use a purchase eraser, then I would use my Venture X card. But again, 90 days, but the other hack when you go on Trenitalia, so there's different class services on the train, and the you know, there's obviously your standard, there's business, and then there's the executive car. And executive is not on every train car. It's not, definitely not on the regional. It's on the faster cars like the Frecciarossa. And so executive, that's the real bougie part of the train. It's, this carriage only actually has 8 seats in it. And obviously they're leather. And there's an attendant who will walk, literally, he or she has white gloves, and they'll bring you, they'll bring you lunch, dinner, unlimited, you know, Prosecco. If you want a Negroni, they'll bring you cocktails. And how you hack it, so when you know you have a definite route, let's say you know you're going from Rome to Venice, and you know, on that 90th day, go there and book it. And when you're on Trenitalia's website, you go and look and at the different fares. And if, well, there's a fare that's called Super Economy, it's super discounted, but you can still get executive for a fraction of the price. So normally, executive is probably several hundred dollars, you know, but you know, so for example, this June, I booked it from Milan to Florence, and I think I paid 100 euros for that train ride. And that was, I think that was probably about a 2.5 hour train ride. And yeah, the Prosecco kept flowing, the Negronis, and you had a food. Whereas I had another friend who was on the train, and they had booked it just the standard, and theirs was over $150 just for the standard seat. So they were lucky to get on in June, because, you know, trains do sell out, but you know, then you get access to the Freccia lounge, and, you know, nothing fancy. It's not like a Polaris lounge or anything, but it's still, it's nicer to have a little bit of a space before you get on the train. So again, look 90 days and then look for super economy fares if you're going to book with Trenitalia.
What about Italo? Is there a case where it makes more sense to book Italo? Is it like a route thing, or what's the difference of when you should book each one?
Yeah, so I personally haven't been on Italo yet. And Italo, I believe, goes from the major cities. So, you know, if you're going, you know, Milan to Rome, you know, over to Venice. So it's, if you're going to smaller towns, you're not going to be on Italo. It's just the Trenitalia. I do have one friend who, she loves Italo, but I don't know, I'm just a creature of habit, and I'm just so, I'm used to it, Trenitalia. I use the Trenitalia app. I'm just very comfortable with their website. But it just, Trenitalia goes everywhere that I need to go. And, you know, and if there's, let's say I'm going to some small little hill towns in Tuscany, I don't have a car, maybe I want to drink wine, maybe I want to drink Chianti. So I can take the bus. You know, the buses in Italy are a really great asset too, that a lot of people, I think America, we're afraid to take buses, but they're very affordable. They're very comfortable, and they're really cheap. So I think my husband and I, we went from Florence to Panzano in Chianti. We had an incredible meal out in Panzano. Obviously, we wanted to have some wine. We took the bus, and I think it was around like €1.50 each for a 45-minute drive on a coach bus. Very comfortable seat. And there was maybe four of us on the entire bus ride. So very comfortable. Don't overlook the buses as well.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes that I've ever heard was, "A civilized country is not one where the poor people own cars. It's one where the rich use public transit." And I love all of the places in Europe where that's definitely true. I'm just like, oh, the trains are so civilized. When my husband and I visited Italy earlier this year, we, I think, took both Trenitalia and Italo. I don't remember at what point, because we flew into Milan, went to Bologna, we visited Verona and a couple other cities as well. We went up to Lake Como and then back into Milan. So it's a really, really nice train system out there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about hotels since we've covered planes and trains. What are some of your places to stay and how do you do it on points?
Sure. So my, since I've been traveling many years into Italy, how I leverage my points, I actually typically use my point stays as bookends for my trip. So if I'm driving into the countryside, you know, typically you're not going to find points and miles hotels in the heart. So for example, this last trip when I was in Italy, I flew into Milan and I flew out of Florence, but I needed the car in the middle. So the first couple of days in Milan, I stayed in a Hyatt property. I stayed at the Hyatt Centric, and I specifically chose that property because it was affordable in points and it was close to the train station. So I could easily walk from the train station with my luggage. And then on that trip, on my departure from Italy, again, I had my rental car that I was returning to the Florence airport, and I stayed at a Marriott property at an Autograph hotel about 30 minutes outside of Florence in a town called Monsovano Terme. And it, you know, it was free parking and it was a very easy drive for me to go to the Florence airport. So that's kind of how I use my points and miles. I like to bookend trips. Then again, I have had other trips where I'm trying, like for example, I think it was a year ago, or close to a year ago, I stayed at a Marriott property, which was in northern Tuscany, definitely not near, you know, the Florence airport or anything, but it was a Renaissance property in a little small town called Barga. So it's possible to, you can definitely find points and miles hotels. But for me, what I've found, you know, what I like, my comfort level is when you're at a points and miles hotel, they're typically American branded hotels. So you're going to find other Americans there. You're definitely going to have someone speaking English if you need that. Someone can help you with things. So definitely there's a comfort level there. But what I do, I use it as a place to get acclimated, get rested and adjusted for the next portion of my trip. And then when I leave, if I'm going to smaller towns, I'll utilize maybe Google hotels, or I'll look on different travel websites, finding local properties, local hotels. I'm not personally a fan of Airbnb. I know a lot of people are, you know, but that would be a great, if you are an Airbnb fan, then that would be a great time to insert Airbnb. But in Italy, I really love supporting the smaller independent businesses. And I have found you can find exceptional properties that you don't have to spend an arm and a leg at. So, I mean, we're talking, you know, 60 euros a night, 80 euros a night for an incredible property where Americans would pay significantly more than that. And so it just feels good helping out these independent, you know, lodging. You're getting a great stay. You're typically getting breakfast included, obviously free parking. You don't have to worry about resort fees there. So, it's okay. I mean, I like spending, you know, you're spending less money out in the countryside to have just an incredible experience. So that's my recommendation. Look, use your points for the big hotels, but just know that, you know, especially with Marriott, some of the points are really, really high, especially Florence. The prices are crazy. I mean, in St. Regis now, you know, they're over 100,000 points, it seems like. Whereas the property that I stayed at in Montserrat Terme, it was a spa hotel. It was going for, I think, 30,000 or maybe even 35,000 Marriott points, but the cash rate was 600 a night. So it was an exceptionally better value in that way. So yeah, that's, you know, consider using your points to bookend your trips in Italy and try to find smaller boutique hotels that are not part of a chain in the interim.
If you're looking to earn more points and miles, there are usually two main ways to get there. The first one is with credit card sign-up bonuses, where you can easily earn tens of thousands of points by putting your expenses on a new credit card. If you're in the market for a new credit card, we offer free credit card consultations and provide you with personalized recommendations based on your particular travel goals, budget, and lifestyle at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. But there are also a ton of ways to earn points outside of opening more cards. And we have some of my favorite methods like stacking, finding hidden bonus offers, and finding reimbursable spending strategies outlined in my free webinar called You Do Not Need 20 Cards. Check out the free webinar on geobreezetravel.com/webinar. And we have links to both the free consultation form and the free webinar for you in the show notes. And now, back to the show.
When we stayed there, we flew into Milan and we got one of those bookend hotels. Like you mentioned, we stayed at the Hotel Indigo Corso Monforte in Milan, which was way cheaper than every other hotel in Milan. You could do that with a free night certificate that comes with an IHG card. Breakfast was great. Like you mentioned, they speak English. The room was really cute. We got upgraded to a suite with a balcony. There was a bathtub in the living room. So it was really cute. And then if you do want to save on hotels, the large cities are not where it's at.
No.
Like you mentioned, Florence. I looked at the Marriott map to try to figure out like where we were going to go in Italy because I had booked flights. And I'm like, yeah, let's figure out what cities we're going to. Not Florence. Man, that was expensive.
Yeah.
And that's how we ended up in Bologna, where I was like, well, I need to get some like Marriott nights for like renewing my status. And that was like the cheapest one in a major city. Like Bologna is probably like a tier two city. Mm-hmm. Everybody still spoke English, but it was so much cheaper to stay there. We stayed at an AC hotel, mm-hmm. which was tiny. Like we threw our suitcases in, the suitcase took up the whole room and we're like, cool, let's go explore the rest of Bologna, which some people say that's how travel should be anyway. This is also the hotel where they confirmed me upgraded because of my status. And in the time between when they sent me that notification on the app and when we got there, somebody paid money for the room. So they rescinded my upgrade.
Oh, no.
And I got Bonvoyed.
Yeah.
So we stayed at the AC. It was like $150 per night in cash, which wasn't bad. And then back in Milan, we stayed at the Westin, mm-hmm. where I think we just paid money for it. And then we used upgrade certificates with Marriott to get this gigantic executive suite that had its own steam room. I probably collected about 500 euro of Acqua di Parma soaps and shampoos from the 2.5 bathrooms in the room. It was a lot.
Yeah.
Granted, I think we were still paying a cash rate of many hundreds of dollars. So even though we got like a $1,700, I think, per night room, we were still paying about 600 or so per night. So still a bit out of pocket for the cash rate. I know a lot of points people are like, never pay money, but we don't. So
you have to do that. You have to do that sometimes. And I mean, first, you know, I travel to Italy often. You know, I travel, you know, 3 to 6 times a year to Italy because I love it. And do I go every time on points? No, I don't, because there's not always points options available for me. And I know in the travel hacking world, they say chase the deal, not the destination, not the date. But for me, that's not always an option. You know, I work full time, I have a job, and there's events that I need to get to in Italy. So I can't always chase the deal. So for me, that's where, you know, obviously Google Flights comes into play, looking at, you know, the fares on Google Flights. But I've really leveraged, again, I live in Minneapolis, which is a Delta hub. I leverage the airline vacation packages. So for me, that would be Delta Vacations. And that's actually what I did this past June. I had specific dates that I had to get there. And the Delta Vacations package, including a hotel for 3 nights, 3 nights is the minimum number of nights that you need on a European trip with Delta Vacations. That hotel and that airfare and 3 nights hotel was less expensive for me than the published airfare on Delta.com. It's a great way for me to hack that system to get into there. And so typically what I do is I'll find the cheapest hotel on Delta Vacations and I never step foot in the hotel.
And so is this usually regularly available so you don't have to chase the deal, or then do you end up having to chase the deal on Delta Vacations because it's not available every day?
For example, if you find a deal somewhere that you're like, oh, wow, it's a cheap flight to London, which that just kind of came out today. There's a bunch of really good deals in London. Then I would go on that airline's website. And then in this case, that would be United, because this is some special with Star Alliance. I would go on the United Vacations and look to see where their deals are. For whatever reason, when they package hotels with the airfare, typically, so the airlines have, the airline packages have this, what's called, there's published and there's unpublished airfares. And typically, you know, when you're going to an airline's website, you're paying the published fare, but a lot of times the vacation packages have unpublished fares. So that's how you're able to get it for such a crazy deal. So, and then for me, because I've been doing this for years, I just know what cities to fly in. So I know Milan, Venice, and Rome. Those are typically some of the better, lower priced deals that I can find. But yeah, you do need to check because the hotels will sell out. So when I was pricing for that trip that I had in June, certain dates, the cheapest hotel wasn't available. So sometimes you got to play around with it, but that's kind of the fun, right? Hunting for the deal.
Yeah. So speaking of different ways to save, we've talked about planes, trains, hotels. Let's talk about excursions and food and all of the other things that people generally say it's a bit harder to save on when going on vacation.
Yeah. And for me, because I've traveled to Italy now, it's really about finding those unique experiences, finding those peak memories that I have and doing different things through various social media sites and word of mouth. I'm always like, what did you do that was fun? And I'm finding inspiration for maybe people's Instagram posts or whatever it may be, because I want to do something fun and something unique. So you can find that from other people, but also you can find tour companies or Airbnb experiences. That's actually how I use Airbnb for the different experiences. So TripAdvisor is fantastic for reviews of what to do, but Viator is a great website, and you can typically stack it with Rakuten to get a special bonus. So I think right now it's 10% if you go through Rakuten, but a lot of the credit cards, they might have experiences that you can, you know, go through their portal and find different experiences for things. Or a lot of times, maybe some airport transfers, you can use your credit card points for that as well. But I just try to find, what is it that I want to do? And then is that tour available on Viator, or is it that cooking class available on Airbnb experiences? And really with Airbnb experiences, I love it because I really feel that I'm getting a very local, a very regionalized experience. And I know that I'm helping a small business, an independent person. So I really like going that route too. So, and then of course they all want you to, leave me a 5-star review on TripAdvisor or something. So yeah, it feels good to help out small businesses.
And you can often stack with those too. Like Viator has 10% back sometimes on Rakuten or on the AA shopping portal. So even though you are supporting an independent owner, a small business through one of those sites, you can still earn a lot of points by doing that.
Definitely. Definitely. And a lot of times the airlines still have, when you're booking a vacation package, they might have something too. So definitely price around. So maybe you'll get inspiration from the airline, but then you book it with Viator or whoever it may be. So like everything, shop around. And sometimes even when you reach out to them directly and say, hey, I found you here, do you have any specials happening? And sometimes they might give you a small discount or a medium discount for booking directly with them too. So
yeah, that's a great tip as well. There's also a food tour that we took when we were in Bologna. I think it was just called Bologna Food Tours.
Yes.
And instead of being a traditional tour, they just give you an app and some food coupons, and then it's self-guided and the coupons don't expire. So you can spread it out over multiple days. I've taken so many food tours where I'm just like stuffed by the end of it. I'm like, oh, this isn't even enjoyable. But with that one, you can space it out over multiple days, which was really nice. And I think it was about 40 euro for the tour, which is about like if you bought all of the food, how much it would cost on its own. And then you get all of the information and they curated it for you. And if you're allergic to anything or have any food restrictions, they have different coupons that they can swap out for you, which is really good too.
I remember on your stories, I remember when you shared that. And I thought that was such a genius way because then you were able to go at your time, you know. And that's the thing about tours is that, you know, my husband loves tours. I'm not really a fan of tours because I just don't want to have to be part of a group. And sometimes what if you want to do your own thing? And that's what I loved that what you had shared. And thanks for mentioning that again. I forgot about that. But that was such a unique way to see a city and to go at your pace, but yet to know that you're getting incredible recommendations. So, but yeah, we did one of the best tours we've done was in Bologna. It was a company, I think it was Italian day tours or something like that. And they picked you up at your hotel in Bologna. For us, we were staying at the AC Marriott. That's a property I would stay at often because of, it's a low redemption there. But they brought you through to like, you know, it was tons of Lambrusco the whole way. So you didn't have to drive, which was great. But you went to a Casaficcio, which is a dairy farm, to see the Parmigiano Reggiano. We went to the balsamic tour. We went factory. We went to Aceteia balsamic factory. Then we went to a prosciutto factory and had obviously prosciutto there. And it was great because very, very informative. Met some really cool people. But yeah, that was an all day thing.
Speaking of food, Bologna is like the food capital of Italy. So if anybody's like, okay, where do they have the best food?
Yes.
It's Bologna. Yes. What are some of your favorite foods?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, Bologna, I love everything. I definitely love that region, Emilia Romagna. So I absolutely love tortellini in Brodo. So, and that's obviously the Emilian specialty. You know, my number one recommendation when you're going to Italy, make sure you eat the food in that region. So eat accordingly. And wherever you are, ask the server, hey, what's your regional specialty? And they will bring you the best food and they'll bring it to you with pride. Yes, I'm very biased. I believe the best food comes from Emilia Romagna. But there's, in my opinion, there's two incredible foodie regions. Yes, Emilia Romagna for the quintessential Italian food, but then also the region of Piedmont. So you're going to get, you know, the more gastronomic food, like the white truffles, and it's black truffles you can get in Emilia Romagna. So the Parmigiano Reggiano is incredible. I'm always bringing cheese back home with me, specifically Parmigiano Reggiano, maybe some pecorino, Parma. Prosciutto di Parma is excellent. Again, also from Emilia Romagna, but you can also get, I love Prosciutto di San Daniele, which is from a different region. That's in the region of Friuli Venezia Giulia, which is north of Venice, Veneto. But because I spent so much time in Emilia Romagna, I love all of the food there. Gramigna, which is a type of pasta that's probably my favorite pasta. You get it with sausage, salsiccia. I love that dish as well. Actually, I have some friends that are in Emilia Romagna and Tuscany, and I'm like, you can't leave without trying Gramigna. So, but that's the other thing. When you find food that you like, especially if there's a certain pasta that you like, don't forget, pasta makes a great souvenir for friends and family back home or for yourself. So I'm always going to grocery stores in Italy and I'm buying the pasta that I like. I'm buying any other cookies, anything else. So that's my souvenir. When I go to Italy so I can go grocery shopping for the things that I can't buy in the United States or the things that are just too crazy expensive in the United States. So my suitcase is always filled with wine. It's filled with pasta. It's filled with crema di pistachio cream. And just, yeah, cookies and more cookies.
The tortellini and the pasta is just next level. Like there are levels to pasta. There's like great value dry pasta. And then once you learn how to make your own, which I have a pasta maker, I do my own noodles with like flour and eggs and all that. But then having like actual professionals make fresh pasta is just incredible. And yeah, if you're bringing back cheese from Italy, I think I had a reel that I just posted today. Declare that because cheese has the same density as C4, apparently. So that's going to ring some security scanners.
Well, if it's
going to issue some red
flags. If
it's
a soft cheese. So if it's a hard cheese like Parmigiano Reggiano or Pecorino, no problem. I haven't brought home a whole wheel because obviously that would be pretty, I don't think that would fit in a carry-on, but yeah, you made that really good distinction on your reel when it's a soft cheese to definitely declare it. So yeah.
Best to just declare everything and be like, I've got some wine here. I have some cheese. I've got some pistachio cream. Just let them know. And then you'll be good to go. So they don't have to try to go through all of your stuff.
Agreed.
Any other tips for Italy for people who are looking to travel there, especially if it's the first time on points and if they know nothing about the country as well?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because it's, you know, the cards that you use to book your travel absolutely makes a difference and it's very important. So in Italy, I'm sure most people have heard it all throughout Europe, actually, but Italy and France, there's a lot of strikes. So if you're solely, relying on the train travel, just know that strikes can happen at any time. So when you book your train ticket, you want to make sure that you have a card that protects you with some travel protection. So again, that's why I use my Chase Sapphire Reserve, because I know that I'm going to have some protection from that card if the worst thing happens, if there's a strike. So again, be very specific with the cards that you use. And then at the same time too, you know, make sure you look at your cards to see, all right, which credit cards have a foreign transaction fee and don't even bring those with you. You want to make sure don't travel to Italy with just one credit card. You know, have a couple different credit cards because what if something were to happen and, you know, a card isn't accepted or the worst thing, you would lose it or it would get stolen. You want to make sure you have a backup. Typically people are trying to see as much as they can in a week or a 10-day time frame. And so if you're always on the move, it might be hard to get your card or have it being delivered to you. So, but if you have a backup, you're protected. I also, as far as cash goes, I use a Schwab checking account ATM to save on the ATM fees. And I try to only pull out cash as I need it from a dedicated bank ATM when I'm in Italy. I do not bring cash with me on the airplane because all the ATM fees are reimbursed with Schwab. When I land at whichever airport that is, I don't care that there's a fee for pulling cash out at the airport. I'll pull a minor amount, maybe 40 euros, 60 euros, whatever it may be. But I get that ATM fee reimbursed to me from my Schwab account. So, but just really in the spirit of, you know, I really try not to check a bag because there's been such drama for the last couple of years of people not getting their bags. In the past, I would bring trekking poles or hiking poles with me if I was going hiking in the mountains. But, you know, the hack is you don't have to pack your trekking poles. There's sporting goods stores that you can buy trekking poles at. I went to Decathlon in Milan in June and bought trekking poles for $5.99 each, which is a crazy deal, right? And so you don't have to have the fanciest, or at least I don't have to have the fanciest, but be reticent, you know, cognizant of where you're spending your money. Apple Wallet. I have the cards that I want to use in my Apple Wallet. So I try to, you know, be the most safe that I can and the most secure. And it's convenient. I'm not always, you know, whipping out my plastic credit card for them. But the other thing, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I like to go shopping at grocery stores. And when I'm driving a car, obviously I have to get fuel for my car, right? So I use a specific credit card that's going to give me the most gas points and then also the most points when I'm at a grocery store. So again, there's no foreign transaction fee. So I'm definitely able to keep building my stash of points even when I'm traveling. So be specific on the cards that you use for travel insurance. Be specific on the cards that you use to keep accruing points. And then the other thing I forgot to mention too, another hack that I do, I'm a big coffee drinker. I drink a lot of Nespresso. The Nespresso capsules are typically 40% the cost in Europe of what they would be in the United States. So I bring a ton of Nespresso back. I'm buying at least 20 sleeves, if not more. And I have friends who are like, I need, you know, can you get me this one? So I always bring back Nespresso. But the other thing is Nespresso codes as groceries. So make sure you use a card that will give you the most points for groceries when you're buying your Nespresso capsules. The other hack is Nespresso, wherever you buy your Nespresso capsules in the United States and Italy, wherever, there is a loyalty program that they have. Well, in Italy, you need to have an Italian address. So I use the address of one of my Italian grandpas, but maybe you could use a hotel, I suppose, or something. And that's how I'm able to kind of, I don't even know if it's status with Nespresso, but they'll say, oh, you've got this discount if you spend this much, or, oh, you're going to get a free sleeve. So, hey, every sleeve counts, right? So so that's how I hack grocery shopping and this my Nespresso habit in Italy.
I was going to say, is it like Starbucks stars? So it sounds a little bit like Kroger rewards mixed in with Starbucks, like grocery and coffee shop. I love that. You have provided so much amazing gems for us today, whether it's through flight, trains, vacation packages, hotels, grocery shopping, what to do if you're in an Italian car accident. I think we have covered pretty much everything. Is there anything else that you want to share that we didn't get to cover?
You know, I would just say when you travel to Italy, please don't rush your time there. And I know a lot of people, you want to see all of the things, you want to eat all of the food. But really, Italy is meant to just be savored and to really appreciate slow travel. And again, I've been going over 2 decades and I haven't visited all 12 regions yet. And I just, you know, there's always so much to see. So the best trips are really when you can slow down, you can enjoy the sunset, you can enjoy that hike, you enjoy that coffee in the morning, meeting a new friend, really just remember why you took the trip anyway. You're there to experience something new, to enjoy new scenery, meet new friends, to really just slow down and enjoy the experience there and not try to rush through everything. So that would be my biggest thing, is just to really appreciate the time that you have and to take it slow.
I love that. Great tip. And speaking of great tips, could you give a shout out to one or two other people on the internet who you love following for points and miles content?
Yeah, so there are so many incredible points and miles content creators and friends of mine. And it's really hard to choose, but I decided there's a couple that I follow for inspiration, that I love their feed and I love their stories. So the first one is Deal Duchess LA. Her name is Mahogany, and she is always just sharing these incredible deals. I'm also a last-minute traveler, and I think a lot of hers are last-minute redemptions. And I love the way that she travels with her family all over the world, and you know, utilizing all the different airline alliances and all of the hotel chains, and just having these incredible memories. So I really like her, again, Deal Duchess LA. And the other content creator that I really enjoy, it's more inspirational, but although he does talk points and miles as well, a little bit mixed in, his handle on Instagram is The Chris Flyer. Just the nicest guy. I met him last October at a travel conference in Canada, in Toronto, and I love his content. His stories are very curated and just very beautiful to look at. And he has the most amazing, you know, trips, and he definitely shares a lot of tips. And again, he shares, you know, various point redemptions, but it's very inspirational travel. So those are the two that I like. They're coincidentally both in LA. And obviously I love it when they share anything in Europe or in Italy, but those would be my two, Deal Duchess LA and The Chris Flyer.
Fantastic. And where can we find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me at World Travelista on all socials. Except for Instagram, I am World Travelista 1. Somebody beat me to my handle. So, but you can find me World Travelista 1. Instagram is really where I hang out the most. Yes, I am on Threads. So I guess it's World Travelista One there as well. But I do have a blog, worldtravelista.org, which I am very, very late in updating, but it's best to reach me on Instagram.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for coming onto the show and sharing all of your wonderful tips about Italy. For anybody who is going there either the first time or has been there 20 times, there's always more to discover. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming onto the show and sharing all of your wisdom with us.
Grazie mille. Ciao. Thank you, Julia.
Ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!